Because there's two types of kiruv. There's one type of kiruv that's passive kiruv. And there's one type of kiruv that's active kiruv. You know what passive kiruv means? That you don't go out of your way to do kiruv, but you just happen to live that type of life that people are inspired because of you. I'll give you a great example. I had a friend, his name is Nosson Meltzer. Nosson Meltzer lives in Kew Gardens in Queens. This goes back a number of years ago. I get a call from a family up in Westchester. They're not from at all. The guy is not from, he wants to have a bris. Fine. I asked him, when was the baby born? On Tuesday. So I said, okay, we got to do the bris on Tuesday. The eighth day, you count the first day that he was born as the eighth day. He says, Rabbi, I can't do it on Tuesday. I got to do it on Sunday. Who could take off work? I said, well, you know, you got to do the bris on the eighth day. You know, the Torah says, I start telling him the Torah. I mean, what does he know from the Torah? He says, Rabbi, nobody's coming. I got to go to work. So what am I going to do? I try to convince him, self-garnet. Okay, so he's going to do it on the 10th day. He can't do it before the 8th day? Okay, so we're making some arrangements. I tell him, you know, the ointment, gauze, pampers, diapers, everything that he should have ready. And then at the end of the conversation, because I always ask this first, especially if I, you know, it's far away and I don't know how they got my name. I said, how did you get my name, by the way? He says, well, we have a cousin. His name is Nosson Meltzer. And he told us, you know, a few months ago we knew we were having a boy, so we called him. He told us to call you. So I said, Nosson Meltzer is your cousin? I said, you know, he would feel so bad if he found out that his cousin didn't have a bris on the eighth day. So the guy says, you think it would matter to him? I said, I'm positive. He says, all right, we'll do it Tuesday. But he doesn't want to do it Tuesday morning. He's going to do it Tuesday right before the Shkia. Fine, after work. Fine, good. I come to Westchester. The guy's a bulvan in a restless t-shirt. He comes to the bris. I have to give him a yarmulke. Fine. But we did the bris. Baruch Hashem. Shabbos, I come to shul. I see Nosson. I said, Mazel Tov, Nosson. He said, what are you talking about? I said, come on, Nosson, you're kidding, right? He says, no, what are you talking about? I said, your cousin. Your cousin had a boy. He says, what cousin? I said, Nosson, you're joking me, right? Your cousin in Westchester. Oh, Taka, yeah, Taka, I remember a couple months ago they called and I gave him your name. I said, what do you mean? They didn't call you to say they had a boy? No. I said, Nosson, don't you realize after 120 years, you're going to go to Shemayim, and the Avisha is going to say, Rav Nosson, you have the schar of a bris being done on the eighth day, and you all know what he's talking about. You all know what Hashem's talking about. He says, Pesach, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, Nosson, don't you realize only because you're an Erlich Hayit, that guy agreed to have the bris on the eighth day. When I said Nosson Meltzer would feel bad, he said, okay, for that I'll do it. So if you act in a noble way, and you act like an Erlich Hayid, and you don't cheat on your taxes, and you don't triple park, and you don't do things that your non-frum relatives will say, that's what a Jewish person is. And if you dress neat, and you look like a mensch, and your kids are respectful, people say, hey, wait a second, that's the way I want to live. That's passive kiruv. When somebody acts in an extraordinary way of life that makes an impression on everyone, I'm going to tell you a story now that anybody who's listening to this tape, if you're in your car, you got to fasten your seatbelts. And any of you here who have seatbelts on your seats, you should fasten them. Because you will not believe this story. Listen to this. Then you'll see what it means living a life of teferet. You know, many of you know Rav Palm. Zecher Tzadik v'Kodesh Lebracha started an organization called Shuvu. So Shuvu is an organization for Russian kids, those kids Nebuch who had no background, and they started many, many schools in Eretz Yisrael. So after Rapam was nifted, there were many Russian shivas who took up the cause. So about a year and a half ago, the Shuvu organization decided, you know what, we're going to take all the Russian shivas to Eretz Yisrael. We're not going to make a big pirsum, no tumult. Just want to show them all the different schools in the different cities that they're working for. So fine. So they went from school to school, place to place. Friday morning, they took them to the Kaisel. That Friday morning, they took them to the Kaisel, all the Russian shivas. There's a lot of American guys hanging out the Kaisel Friday morning. So they turn around, they see, hey, whoa, what's going on here? All the Russian shivas are here. So they all circled around the Russian shivas. Shalom Aleichem, you know, everybody who knew, whichever. Now there was a Baal Tshuva who was at the Kaisel that morning. This guy was a brand new Baal Tshuva. He was still wet behind the ears. His mom is new to the fold. And he's davening, I say, so sincerely. And he turns around, he sees, oh, big crowd. Oh, what's going on here? He goes over and says, excuse me, what's going on here? So somebody says to him, you know, the Choshev Rosh Hashivas, they came to Eretz Yisrael to see about Shuvah. And he sees this guy's brand new. He says, maybe you want to get a bracha from one of the Choshev Rosh Hashivas here? He said, yeah, I'd like to, but I don't know anybody. He says, take a look, you see Rabbi Aaron Shechter? He's very Choshev, he's a Rosh Hashivah Chaim Berlin. He's a big tzaddik. Come here, I'll take you over. So Rabbi Aaron Shechter, if you see what he looks like, a Malach Elikim, a long, perfect white beard, never Ravav, al big, an immaculate looking person. So he bring him over, he says, Shom Aleichem, and Rabbi Aaron realized right away, this guy's a brand new Baal Tshuva. He gives him a warm Shom Aleichem, he makes him feel special, he asks him how he became frum, and he gives him a brocha, and this guy's mama, she's flying high. A whole Friday afternoon, all he's going around telling people, you know what happened to me today? I saw Rabbi Aaron Shechter. You know what Rabbi Aaron Shechter is? I got a brocha from Rabbi Aaron Shechter. You know what Rosh Hashanah Chaim Berlin? And all over. That's all he's talking about. Friday night, he was invited to a suda by frum people. He's sitting at the table. He says, you know what happened to me? I got a brocha from Rabbi Aaron Shechter. You know what Rabbi Aaron Shechter is? Rosh Hashanah Chaim Berlin. So somebody sitting at the table says, did you get a brocha from Shmuel Kamenetsky? He said, who's he? What do you mean, who's he? Rabbi Yaakov's son, the Rosh Hashanah of Philadelphia. Listen, I don't know. They took me over to Rabbi Aaron Shechter. I don't know anybody. Fine, the next Shabbos, the next day, Shabbos the afternoon, you know, after Musaf, he's invited to a frum family. He says, you know what happened to me yesterday? I was at the Kaiser. You know where I got a bracha from? I got a bracha from Rabbi Shechter. You know where Rabbi Shechter is? And he goes on again. So somebody says to him, you got a bracha from Shmuel Kamenetsky? He said, it's funny you should ask me that, because they asked me that last night also. I don't know who he is. So there was a picture, Hamadiyah had a picture of all the Rosh Hashivas there. So everybody's looking at the picture. He says, oh, you see the guy in the middle? That's Rabbi Shechter. That's the one I got the bracha from. So he said to him, sitting next to him, that's Rabbi Shmuel Kamenetsky. He said, that's the guy who took me over. Can you believe that? Could you believe that? I didn't believe it. I went to Rabbi Shmuel Kamenetsky at Talmud convention. I said, do me a favor, tell me the truth. Did you take over that Baal Tshuva to Rabbi Shechter? He says, yeah, I did. Imagine. Oh, that's Kirov. That's Kirov. A Heiliger Yid like that. I mean, how could you not be a Heiliger Yid? It's unbelievable. Well, so let me tell you one more story. One more story. What you see, passive Kirov. How a Yid acts in a certain way. Again, you got to have your seatbelt. You're not going to believe this. And all these stories, Mitzvah Shem, will be in the new Magid book. If anybody's got some stories, call me right away. We got to get it out by Hanukkah. So listen to this. There's a man in Eretz Yisrael, his name is Rabbi Yosef Goodfarb. Rabbi Yosef Goodfarb hasn't missed davening with a minyan in decades. That means wherever he travels in the world, he always knows where the minyanim are, and what businesses and what shuls. He hasn't missed a minyan 35, 40 years. Fine. Happened a while ago. He comes home from a chasna at 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh, you're the boy of the Alma. He says to himself, I didn't daven Ma'ariv. And if he didn't daven Ma'ariv at 3 o'clock in the morning, obviously he didn't daven with a minyan. Where's he going to get a minyan at 3 o'clock in the morning? So if you're in Flatbush, you go to Landau's. And if you're in Borough Park, you go to Shemesh Shabbos and meet all the guys coming home from the dates. And if you're in Bnei Brak, you go to Itzkowitz, right? What are you going to do in your Shalim? So there's a place called Zichron Moshe. Zichron Moshe is also like a minyan factory. A lot of different rooms, a lot of different minyanim. Quickly gets over to Zichron Moshe. He comes into one room, there's one guy sitting there. He says, did you daven Ma'ariv? He said, no. He says, you didn't daven Ma'ariv yet, but you think we'll have a minyan? He says, what, are you kidding? It's 3:15. In an hour and a half is Vesikin. They're going to start davening Shachar soon. He said, yeah, but I haven't missed a minyan in decades. We've got to get a minyan. Listen to what this guy thinks of. He calls an Israeli taxi company, and he says, send me 8 cabs with 8 Israeli drivers. Imagine an Einfall with a yid like that. So the guy says, 8 cabs. Who's got 8 cabs? 3 o'clock in the morning. So how many you got? 5. 5 cabs. He calls another cab company. Send me 3 cabs. Only Israeli drivers. Right? 10 minutes later, there's 8 cabs lined up in front of Zichron Moshe. Everybody wants to know, where's the bar mitzvah? Where's the chasana? What's going on here? Who are we taking home? So the guy says, Rabbi Yisai, reminds me of Indianapolis 500. Start your engines. He says, everybody start your meters. Everybody start your meters and come into the shul. Everybody starts the meters, and they come into the shul. He says, Rabbi Yisai, I want to tell you something. I haven't missed davening with a minyan in decades. I don't care what it costs me. We're all going to daven together. Now, of course, some of the guys knew how to daven. The other Israelis, they didn't know how to daven. They can read Hebrew. 25 minutes it took till they plowed through Ma'ariv. At the end, he goes over to the first guy who came, a frum guy. He says, listen, sir, how much do I owe you? Guy says, listen, I've been davening all my life. All my life. I never davened in such a heilig minyan. I won't take a penny from you. So he goes over to an Israeli, a secular guy. He says, how much do I owe you? He says, listen, sir, I haven't prayed in years. I didn't daven in years. Tonight, you allowed me to daven in such a holy minyan. I should pay you, not you should pay me. And not one of those cab drivers took a penny from him. Now, imagine if you were one of those drivers. Don't you think you would have a hisiris for tefillah? Hisiris for davening? Even to hear this story. It's so incredible. That's what passive chinuch is all about. Passive chinuch means doing mitzvahs properly, with kedusha, with helikite, with sincerity. And if you daven that way and you act that way, your neighbors know it, your friends know it, your third cousins that Rabbi Milstein spoke about that are not religious, they also know it. And they become better people because of it. So how do we do active kiruv? That's passive kiruv. And hopefully we're each involved in that. But let's watch some active kiruv. Let's see an amazing thing. The Yalkut Shemoni tells us about Elkanah. All of us know that Elkanah had two wives, Chana and Penina. Chana never had no children in the beginning. And Penina had 10 children. So listen to this. They used to go every Oyla Regel, every Regel, they would go to be Oyla Regel. Of course, they wasn't the Beis HaMikdash yet, so they went to Shiloh. So listen to what the Medrash Yalkut Shemoni tells us in Shmuel Aleph, Aleph. U'bederech shoya Oyla shana zu, loy hoya Oyla shana acheres. Elimelech, Elkanah rather, had a big Winnebago. He had his big family in the van, a super van. But he didn't travel Route 80 every year. One year he traveled Route 80. Another year he went down 95, and he's going to go around the long way. And when he would stop overnight, people would say, Rabbi Elkanah, where are you going? He says, come with me, come, I got room. Come, we'll go to Mishkan Shiloh. We'll be able to watch the Kayanim. We'll be able to daven together. It'll be so inspirational. And every year he would pick up stragglers along the way, every year a different highway. And he would tell people, come with us. We're going to have a great time. It'll be so inspirational. Oh, he's up to Rabbeinu Shalaylam. Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elkanah, Ata Hichrates Yisrael L'Kapschus. You caused Yidden L'Kapschus V'chinachtem B'mitzvahis. And you were machanach them B'mitzvahis. V'ziku HaRabim Al Yodcha. And many people did mitzvahs because of you. Oh, you know what I'm going to do for you, Elkanah? I'm going to take care of you. Ani Oitzi Ben Mimcha She'achriyas Kol Yisrael L'Kapschus. I'm going to give you a child. It's going to bring the whole Klal Yisrael to mitzvahs. V'yachanach lisam b'mitzvahs ha'lamadata. So we learn she'b'schar Elkanah, the schar that Elkanah got, what was it? Shmuel. You want to have good children? Get involved in kiruv. Fershi Yalkut Shmoini, it's not me. You want the Eivishter to make sure that your kids are special? Worry about his kids. You worry about the Rabbeinu Shalom's kids? He'll take care of your kids. They'll be special. There'll be people that will inspire thousands. Why? Because you cared about the Rabbeinu Shalom's kids. That's what it's all about. You know, there's a great vort, a fabulous vort for Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky writes, you know, it says when Yaakov Avinu came to the shepherds, Yaakov says to them, Achai, my brothers, Ma'ayinatem, where are you guys from? So they say they're from Choron, and they get into a whole discussion. And he says, do you know Lavan ben Nachar? Yeah, we know him. How's he doing? Yeah, he's fine. And then Rabbi Yaakov writes, very interesting. Rabbi Yaakov writes, he says, you know, all my life, every time I learned that pasuk, I was wondering, why does he call them brothers? He doesn't even know them. Why does he say brothers? And he says something very interesting. He says something mamish fascinating. He says, you know why he called them brothers? Because he was about to give them Musar. And when he was going to give them Musar, he said to them, Oid hayom gadol, the day is big, lo yeseh osif hamikneh. It's not time ready to gather in the livestock. Give them to drink. You can't give Musar to somebody you don't like. You can't give Musar to somebody who doesn't feel you love them. So he said, Achai, my brothers. And that's the first lesson in active kiruv. You got to love those brothers and sisters that are not from. You know, many of us, we wouldn't even have them in our house. We're so afraid that they're going to influence our delicate children. You influence them, don't be afraid. Love them. You send them an email, you send them an invitation, you send them a gift, you write a nice note. Love them. And if you love them, as Ellie's father mentioned before, they're really our brothers and sisters that we don't even realize. Then you could be makar of them. Wouldn't you do something if a friend asked you to do something? Of course you would do it if you felt loved and cared for. And that's the first lesson in active kirov. You have to love these people. I'll tell you an amazing story that happened with the Kloisenberger Rebbe, and I said this over in Kelm when we were standing by the Kever Achim. The Heilige Kloisenberger Rebbe was in one of the DP camps after the war. And somebody came over to him and he said, you know, there's a Bocher here, Meshulam, and he's not frum anymore, and he doesn't wear his yarmulke, and he doesn't put on tefillin. And of course, everybody understood why he lost his father, he lost his whole family. But he came from a good family. Rebbe, maybe you'll call him in, and maybe you'll be able to speak to him. Because we tried everything, and he's not listening to us. So the Rebbe said, okay, tell him that I'd like to speak to him. Now this boy, Meshulam, he knew why the Rebbe wanted him. And he decided he's not going to say a word to the Rebbe. Just going to answer one word answers. That's it. Because otherwise, you know, the Rebbe will chop him. So he walks in without his yarmulke. And the Rebbe says to him in Yiddish, "Du bist doch der Sohn von Leibisch, right? You're the son of Leibisch." He said, yeah. He said, "Ich gedenk dir, I remember you. Flexana Grace Masmid, used to be a big Masmid." He said, yeah. Everything that the Rebbe answered, just one word answers. And the Rebbe comes close to him and he says, "You're angry, right?" He says, yeah. He says, "You're angry because they took the best ones and they left you, right?" And then he turned and he looks at the Rebbe, and then the Rebbe says, "You know something, I feel the same way. They took the best ones, they took 11 of my children and my wife. They took the best ones and they left me." And the Rebbe put his hand and his head on the boy's shoulder, and the Rebbe started crying. And this kid started crying, and they both repeated over and over, "They took the best ones and they left us." For a half hour, that's all they said. They took the best ones and they left us. And the Rebbe was crying and this kid was crying. And then after a half hour, the Rebbe kissed him on his head and said, "Geh gesund te heit." And that night, the kid learned Krishna for the first time in months. And a few days later, he started wearing his yarmulke. And a while ago, this fellow himself, who lives now in Baltimore, said to me, "You know why I changed? I changed because of the Rebbe. Because everybody was speaking to my head, but the Rebbe was speaking to my heart. Everybody was speaking to my head, but the Rebbe was speaking to my heart." That's kirov. If you really love someone, and you feel their pain, and you validate that they are not frum because they never had your opportunities, not that you look down at them. They weren't in your yeshivas. They didn't have your parents. And you go there, and you're makar of them, and you say, "Listen, it's not your fault. Let's come together. Let's spend a meal, shavuos, together. Come to the mishpedesh. We'll learn something. Together, just an hour." And you make a meeting, and you get a whole group of guys together. Or a woman gets a whole group of girls. You don't keep them up all night, you keep them up for a half hour. And you make a shir in somebody's house. And you say, "Hey, listen, guys, let's tell you what Kabbalah Satira is all about. And between now and then, you can learn those three sessions for Project Inspire, and you'll know what to say." Then all of a sudden, wait a second, they've got new friends. And when they've got new friends, you're talking to their heart. And if you're talking to their heart, like the Rebbe, then you can change anybody. So really the answer is, you don't have to be part of NCSY. You don't have to be part of Ura. You don't have to be part of Aish. You don't have to be part of Ur Sameach. You got to be part of one thing, Klal Yisrael. That's all you got to be part of. If you're part of Klal Yisrael and you care for other people, you'll be able to reach out to other people. And you can do it. As it